Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Amy Loboda, editor of Aviation for Women magazine and FAST Team representative, Fort Myers, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone. This is Amy Loboda reporting from Fort Myers, Florida. I am your host today on FAA's Managing Safety. My guest is Mike Edwards. He is the Director of Business Development and Program Manager of the Center for General Aviation Research. That's CGAR, but without the I. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Amy, and as you quickly caught on there, that there is no I in cigar, because this next topic we're going to talk about will show the power of a team working together.
There you go. And tonight's topic is weather technology in the cockpit, which is something that the Center for General Aviation Research, which has been in existence for a full decade now, has been on the forefront of from day one, it seems like. Mike, tell me what your personal interest is in weather technology in the cockpit. You own a patent, don't you?
Yes, I do. One of the things that I, in my background, that goes back quite a few years, even before what I mentioned to you in the year 2000, I did a lot with another company that I had worked with in helping input the graphics into the Model 1 full capacity when it went back prior to the current system that was there. So a lot of the weather graphics that you as a pilot went into a flight service station and got briefing from were from efforts that I had input there. And then when I moved to a company here in Florida, I had the opportunity to work with a team that developed a system that we patented that was for trains, planes, automobiles, ships at sea, any place that went, we could give you weather. And it was almost like the forerunner to some of the commercial systems that were out there today. So getting weather to people, no matter how they were going. In fact, Amy, at one time we were down to figuring out how to give weather to a person out there hiking that was using a portable GPS system. And as you know, today you can do that. But that goes back to my history in doing that. And then when we had the opportunity to get involved in the project of weather technology in the cockpit through CIGAR, it was like, this is the place that everybody's got to have an advantage. And I had my advantage with my background, and it was my ability to become, I want to say, the program coordinator for these three team members that are excellent in what they're doing, to put together our first interim report on weather technology in the cockpit with a final report for phase one, I would say, that's going to end up on the end of May here. And a lot of work's gone into it, and we've got three excellent team members who have participated in this.
Well, there's been a real technological curve over the last decade. I certainly know that I started, the first weather that I had in the cockpit of a general aviation airplane was via satellite phone uplink.
Yes. Yeah, it was. They were satellite phone, and I got to tell you, there was one that I remember that we went out to take a look at where the transmission of the data was so slow. By the time you got your full radar picture, you may have transited from your takeoff to your landing point. So the transition in technology, yes, has changed. With the advent of XM and Sirius Radio, that really awakened the pilot community, and they said, hey, this is the best thing since sliced bread. But now as we develop the weather technology in the cockpit, there's going to be some things that are in the offing right now where this group that we started with, or that's part of the group going on, consists of Embry-Riddle in Daytona Beach, University of North Dakota, and the University of Alaska. And as part of the team, they each had a specific operation that they were going to be looking at. And part of the technology, Amy, and I'll explain to you in just a bit how that's going to work in there as well. But what's going on right now, and will be going on, by the way, at Sun and Fun, Leslie Martin from the University of North Dakota will be in our booth at Sun and Fun in the FAA hangar, and we invite everybody to come by because Leslie's collecting data on the user needs statement, which really represents a cross-section of the general aviation community's preference for weather information services. Four, pre-flight planning, during flight, preferred methods for receiving that information. That's all going to be collected by use of SurveyMonkey. It's an anonymous survey, and we really appreciate the comments and people stopping by. And the computer will be set up in my booth. Leslie will be there, and it takes probably about 5 minutes at the most. And we really encourage input because this is where the pilots have a chance to tell the research community, and the research community work with the FAA to be able to take this to the next step, which is something that we're also working on through the University of Alaska. They're developing a concept of operations for WITC product usage by the GA community, focused on the pilot preferences for specific types of aviation meteorological products. And again, the University of Alaska Anchorage is leading that program. But then all of that comes full circle. You today, Amy, receive graphics, and being that you are out there flying on a regular basis, you have a pretty good idea of what you're looking at. Now,
That's true.
what's going to happen? And because we're going to get the user needs, and believe me, I've seen some of the user needs that have come back, and they're quite unique because we're coming into an exciting weather period that will be generating new products for us off of what's called the 4D cubed weather program that will give us almost any product, any place, any time that will come into the next gen network enabled weather, which the developers of weather products can grab new exciting products that pilots are going to say, "What about this? I'm tired of reading the METARs and the TAFs. Can I get a graphical METAR and a TAF sent to me in the aircraft? Can I get 3D radar sent to me in the aircraft?" The answer is probably going to be yes as technology develops itself, but you're going to have to be educated on that because right now, remember when they had six levels of radar, Amy?
Oh,
And
yeah.
you could take a look at that and say, wow, the red says I got to stay away from it. The green says it's okay to fly through it. But now you're looking at NEXRAD and you're seeing so many different levels there. And it took people a while to understand what that was all about. So our third group that is working on this, and they're just finishing up with a pilot program that we hope to be able to show at the Sun and Fun, or at least talk to the WINGS people there. They're developing recommendations for guidance pertaining to the education and training of GA pilots now on safe and effective use of WITC products during the different phases of flight.
There you
Now,
go. This is fascinating. I'm going to stop you just long enough for us to take a quick break, and then I want to come back and let's talk some more about that. Okay, Mike?
okay.
Excellent. We'll be right back with FAA's Managing Safety.
Now, let's rejoin Amy Lamota and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
Welcome back to FAA's Managing Safety podcast. We are speaking with Mike Edwards. This is Amy Lamota, your host. Mike is the Director of Business Development and Program Manager of CGAR, that's the Center for General Aviation Research. And we are talking about some very exciting new things that are coming up on the horizon, including some training programs to train general aviation pilots on a new graphical weather system. Mike, tell me a little bit more.
One of the things that we'll do in that training process too is a lot of training programs, as you've gone through them, you read a book, or you took your biannual flight review and you listened to your reviewer talk about what's going on, and then you went off and flew, and nobody ever came back and checked on, did I have something that I retained there? Part of our educational process is also going to be to educate and then to check up to make sure that what we taught you did remember. It's not a different concept. It's a concept that we feel will also make the transition with some of these new weather products a little bit more palatable and less threatening to pilots so that they do fly safer. And I got to go back and relate a story on another one of these pieces of technology that that we get, listened to a guy that flew back to Kansas using it. He was using a cell phone in the airplane, which, you know, is not really looked on as being acceptable.
Right.
And he was looking at the pixels of radar that he was looking at. And because he knew what he was looking at, he said, "I flew between two pixels of serious radar looking stuff up there, and I made it." So he said, "I know my system works." But when you stop and think about what might have been behind that other pixel that he couldn't see, it could have been a rock cloud. And by a rock cloud, he would have flown into some dangerous areas. But he felt his education level was such that he didn't have to worry about it. And that's what we want to get back to the pilot, is to say, education, education, education. It's just like anything else. You've got to keep going and you've got to keep learning, because the time that you stop learning, it's time you should stop flying, because you're a danger to yourself and everybody else in the air. So as we get on with weather technology in the cockpit, you talked about changes in technology. And one of the things that the University of North Dakota is going to be working on a follow-on project here, which is quite exciting, is going to be taking a look at the use of handheld devices in the cockpit, such as the iPad, such as the cell phone, the BlackBerry, items of that nature, to see how they're being used. Are they safe? Do they take away from your ability to watch out the heads-up issue, as opposed to having it on your glass cockpit? Those are some of the things that they're going to carry forth as they step forward and see where that's going to go. There will only be recommendations on the outcome as to what's going to happen. It won't be a stamp of approval by what I'm saying here that says you can use your iPad. It's just that we're going to take a look and see what are the benefits, the features, benefits, the downside, the upside, and it will all be put into the mixing bowl and put in as part of our report back to the FAA.
Well, I certainly know I've been using a handheld PDA in the cockpit since 2001, but then I used a handheld GPS in the cockpit for years before that. You
Yes.
know, I mean, it was for situational awareness only, but it was the only affordable way to get weather into the cockpit.
And you're absolutely right, because a lot of people that we talk to today, and that's what a lot of the comments on the user need statement is, whatever way I can get my weather, I'm going to get my weather, because to get it on glass is going to be expensive. Do I get the type of weather that I want? That's the other issue that they look at. And hopefully, by the time that our portion of the weather technology in the cockpit program, research programs, are done with, and other human factors studies are done on how pilots use the weather that they say they would like to use it, maybe we'll have some answers that we can provide to the FAA. Maybe these will lead to new guidance for the FAA to present to us in the general aviation community and say, this is how we're going to allow you to do this. And again, if it gets back to an affordable means and an affordable way that you as a pilot can get that information and be able to use it in real time, for tactical maybe decisions and then the various phases of flight that you're going to need it in, well, then we've done our job. And that's what the future is going to present, is going to be a challenge for us to move ahead and get the input from you, the general aviation people that we will see at Sun and Fun. And again, that's why I encourage you, stop by. We want to come away from there with more SurveyMonkey surveys than we've ever had since last year, because that part of the report has got to be done by the end of May. So we're looking for help on this, Amy. And that's why it's exciting. It's going someplace. And we've got a lot to talk about as we move downstream.
Mike, that's terrific. People can find you. Now, you guys are going to be wearing your blue cigar shirts, right, in the FAA building?
Right, we're going to be in the FAA safety hangar, and I'm not sure what our location is going to be there, but they will look at us and they'll see our logo. It's an FAA airplane, and it says CGAR on the top of it. You'll see our banners in the booth highlighting many of the research projects that we have worked on, all the way from our training programs to ADS-B to alternative fuels to bird strikes. Whatever it's been, you're going to be able to see that on our banners there at the FAA Safety Center. And again, like I say, we encourage people to stop. And if I may add one last thing,
Sure.
we encourage them to go to our website. There is a plethora of information, and we encourage those that are in the research area to take a look and to sign up to get into deeper into the website. It's just merely putting your username and password, you get an account, and you can get into some of the further information areas. But if we took a look, and I told you what our research count shows, a lot of researchers that are coming into this are people that are college age, they're high school age, they're interested in aviation, and they're interested in what we're doing. And that website tells it all at cgar.org.
Terrific, Mike. Mike Edwards, Director of Business Development and Program Manager of CGAR CIGAR, which is the Center for General Aviation Research. And that is a compilation of a whole bunch of different researchers from a whole bunch of different universities nationwide. And you can find him at Sun and Fun 2011 at the FAA Safety Center building. Take a look, go in. Help these guys to do the research that's going to keep us all safe into the future. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on FAA's Managing Safety podcast.
Thanks, Amy. We'll see you at Sun and Fun.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.